This morning, it's my joy to share with you from the Word of God as we turn to the Old Testament and find the book of Joshua. As we look to the third chapter, verses 7 through 17, may the Word of God empower the people of God. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And you shall command the priests and bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is to pass over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man, and when the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be stopped from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, the Jordan overflows all its bank throughout the time of harvest, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap far off at Adam, the city that is before Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were wholly cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. And while all Israel were passing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. The word of God for the people of God. I'm visiting with you today about the idea of dry waters. But perhaps added to the prayer list this morning, we should have said something about the parents, as their faces were concerned about children that had dirty feet and it pleased God. I've never played golf. Oh, I played it a time or two. But ping pong's my game. Not golf. But if heaven truly holds all the joys that are promised to us, just perhaps for those who are golf lovers, there may be a golf course in paradise. You see, there's the old story, and bear with me if you've already heard it, about Jesus and Moses who were playing golf in paradise when they come to the par 3, 17th hole, and there is Moses. He takes a shot with a number 3 wood, and it's magnificent, going over the body of water and hitting on the green. Perfect shot. Well, Jesus took out a 5-iron and said, "I'm going to hit with a 5-iron because I think that that's what Armour Palmer would do." And so he took it out, and he made his shot, and he hit just 25 yards shy of the greens, and down into the water the ball went. So Jesus turned to Moses and said, "You know, I could do this, but you do it so well. Go ahead and part the water for me, won't you, so I can go get my ball?" Moses said, "No way. You simply chose the wrong club because you thought that's what Armour Palmer would do, and there's no way I'm going to help you beat me." So Moses looked at Jesus, who shrugged his shoulder, and he went over across, walked the water to pick the ball up. Now, just about that time, a party of 4 other golfers were going on to the greens and saw Jesus walking on the water. And they looked over to Moses and they said, "Who does he think he is, Jesus Christ?" He said, "No, he thinks he's Armour Palmer." We're thinking about dry waters today. The very idea of such a thing is beyond the realm of possibility. I mean, after all, we're a logical, accepting people. Surely we know that something cannot be dry and wet at the same time. Yet the drama within the journey of God's believers is full of preposterous patterns. So as we delve into the wonderful text of Joshua, immediately we discover his tremendous quality of leadership. In fact, the very first words in the book of Joshua confront the continuity of leadership among the people of God as we hear these words. After the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, God said to Joshua, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, the Israelites. I will give you every place you set your foot as I promised Moses. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God himself has appointed Joshua the successor of Moses. And Joshua accepts this challenge from God. And he embraces this commitment and courage given to him by God. Joshua submits totally to God's authority. And yet we understand that with any transition of power, there's a bit of hesitation, a bit of angst, uncertainty. So time and mission march on, and the Israelites move forward. Under Joshua's leadership, the people of God suddenly found themselves on the outer banks of the River Jordan. They set up camp prepared for entry into the promised land, that place and space and time given to them, promising to them fabulous dreams, freedom, flowing with milk and honey, flowing with prosperity and joy. And the people were told to wait. Now, we know that that's not the greatest quality most human beings possess, the ability to wait. But indeed, that's what they were instructed to do. For they were to wait upon the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant basically containing the Ten Commandments and the law. They would then proceed once it arrived. I would hope that all of us would say forthrightly that the truth of God, the Word of God, is precious to us. And here it is literally guiding the culmination of generations of people through this wonderful mystical journey. As now, back then, the children of God are kind of weaving in, darting back and forth in the will of God. And yet God did not abandon them and told them he would not. At times the people were being rather discreet in their disobedience, and other times they were rather blatant about it. After years of wandering aimlessly, they wander no more. Their journey is not over. They still have this dusty caravan that they're in, but suddenly it comes to an abrupt halt. And they find their feet on the banks of this thunderous, ravaging, swollen Jordan River. God has brought them basically from wilderness to water. What was God thinking? What was God thinking? I've got three ideas that might help us answer that question this morning. I think the first idea when it comes to the mind of God is that we need to acknowledge our journey begins with God. There's this marvelous statement written in Psalm 139 which states, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I lie down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. For before I was born, you knit me in my mother's womb. and I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There was a woman in the Bible named Hannah. Hannah was a very faithful woman, but in her own life, she had this void that she felt. She felt like she was a wanderer in a strange land. Because you see, the one thing that she desired the most, what she dreamed was her purpose, was to have her own son. But in faith and patience, Hannah waited, and Hannah was blessed by God. In her prayer to God, she said, "He will guard the feet of all of his saints." As we acknowledge our own fears in life, we must know the presence of God in our lives can only begin in our trust of God. Because to trust God is to believe in God, and to believe in God is to know God. Rosa Parks, a small woman with great faith in the civil rights movement, once stated, "Fear that is confronted is fear that shall not dominate you." Our lives, gifts from God, begin and are sustained by the power of God. And the second idea this morning is your journey is marked by extraordinary faith. The instructions to the priests in today's text were quite remarkable. God told them to stand still in the Jordan. What an unusual request. After all, the priests have been in that territory or have known of that territory anyway, and they understand that this time of year, at the time of harvest, the Jordan River is at flood stage. And God's instructions are for them to stand right in the middle of it. Gather up the leaders, hoist the Ark of the Covenant, God says, upon your shoulders, and go stand in the river. And so at the juncture of their journey, the people had nothing else to do. The river is raging. And yet they feel for history's sake, they better not oppose the instruction of God. There's a parable about a traveler who went in the desert, hiking around, exploring, and got lost along her way. As she grew weak in the merciless heat of the sun, she saw an oasis standing before her. It was at a distance, but if she could only make it. And then she thought, oh, my mind must be playing tricks on me. This has got to be a mirage. Surely there's nothing there out in the middle of this desert. As she grew closer, she saw the date palms swaying in just a very light breeze. And she saw the green grass covering the ground. She even saw a bubbling spring of water. She paused for a moment, then slowly resumed her walking and thought to herself, my mind is definitely deceiving me. I'm craving something so much, it's just got to be too good to be true. A short time later, two hikers came along around the same place and found the woman who had perished of thirst and of hunger. The one said to the other, "How strange. Here are these date trees so ripe with fruit just at her grasp. And here's a bubbling brook of water. And yet she died of thirst." Shaking their heads sadly, they wondered how this could have happened. Faith, my friends, is the reminder that God, who has always provided that which is too good to be true, has provided for you and me, Jesus Christ, who is too good, but he is true. Finally, the journey in life must be completed by yours and by my obedience. Briefly back to the story of Joshua, to the religious leaders, God says, go stand in the river Jordan, but the invitation and the plot thickens. Next, God accompanies the leaders, but with that, he has also said, with you, pick one person from each tribe of Israel to also go with us. As soon as your leaders proceed into the Jordan, be ready to follow, for the waters will stand up in a heap. And it happens just as God did, but something crucial, an obedient act, is what made this whole thing happen. And the obedient act was that the priests led the procession and they dipped their toes in the waters that could have swept them away and drowned them. But because they had faith, they knew their journey began with God, and they knew that to experience God to the fullest can only be done with an obedient heart. Then they placed their toes in what could have swept them away. And in that millisecond of a moment when their toes dipped into the water, the waters receded and stood up in a heap. They were able to walk on a dry riverbed onto the other side. It was a journey upon dry waters. A journey fueled by faith and driven by zeal to possess what was promised to them. We possessed a promised land too, my friends here at Asbury. Fueled by the saints of our past, moving forward by all of us who are saints in the making. We can remain fermented in fear of change, fermented in lackadaisical nonchalance. Or we can live and move in the zeal of believers of the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But it's going to take our faith. The faith of you and for me to believe and move forward upon dry waters. That which may seem in front of us impossible to do, but that which through the power of God not only can be done, but shall be done. Those dry waters are literally at our fingertips. May we not die of hunger or of thirst in this land of plenty that is promised to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.